This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
It's Agribusiness Today here, Sports Radio 92.3 and 1450 on the Noon Show. Man, we used to talk to this guy a lot, and he's doing a couple other really good things right now, and it just kind of occurred to me we haven't had him on the air in quite a while, so let's catch up. Tim Myers, Myers Ag Consulting. You'll remember Tim's name, of course, from all the work that he does do there on the livestock side, and others will go, oh yeah, the only pork producer. So it's a real pleasure to have Tim Myers back on the phone with us, and talk about some things that they'll be doing this weekend that have origins all the way back here to the Pork Producers Association in Springfield. Tim, how are you today?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
We are excellent. And you've got a couple of really neat things going on over around Payson with your cattle operation that you're running with some in-laws and your son. And it's all really been centered around some barns that you've got going on in that operation, and you want to show everybody them this weekend.
Yes, we are having an open house this coming weekend on Saturday, November 19th, from 11 to 3 over here in Payson. And like I said, we built two cattle barns. We built one in 21, and we built one here this last year. The one in 21 was a monoslope bed pack barn where we use corn stalks for bedding. And then this one last year was a deep pit. So it's got a 10-foot pit under that collects the manure, has slats, rubber mats on top for the cattle comfort. And then that's a gable-type barn, so it's kind of a more or less traditional-type looking barn, but it's got a opening in the center where kind of the heat and air kind of uses for ventilation. So a little bit two different kind of little bit facilities or setups, I guess you'd say, that are kind of right next to each other. But yeah, we've got them up in operation now, and got cattle in both barns now. They're not completely full. We kept a few pens open in the new gable barn just so that we'd have a place to put people and set some tables and chairs up and have people kind of get the chance to get in and see them. And so, like I said, that's from 11 to 3 this weekend. So, yeah, anybody that's interested and wants to make the drive over to Adams County is welcome. I know it's a first season of shotgun season 2 for deer. So I've had a lot of guys tell me, oh, I'm going to be shooting. And I said, well, when you get your deer, then come and, you know, grab a, we're going to have ribeyes and hamburgers that Adams County beef producers are going to be cooking. And so anyway, it's just kind of a chance for people to get to see two different types of barns right next to each other. You don't get to see that, I guess, a lot of times. And kind of see that from the cattle side, anybody that's interested in kind of seeing those buildings, a good chance to do that, and good chance for us to learn from other people too. Like I said, I think that's the neat thing about these open houses. There's always a good share of ideas and information and networking, and so it's hopefully be valuable for people that come, but it'd be valuable for us too just to get some tips and ideas from other people who are doing this too, because we for sure don't have it all figured out. I can guarantee you that. So always looking for ways to improve and learn.
Why a monoslope bed pack building in 21, and why'd you follow it up with another building with that deep pit and those rubber mats and slats for the cows in 22? The first one must have worked, so you got the second one, but what did it take to jump in with the first one?
Yeah, these weren't actually, planned. We built the cow barn here at our farm back in 2019, and we calve in it. We basically house cows and then we calve in it and house gestating cows. And so when that was a monoslope bed pack barn, we've really liked that with the calving and ease of calving and keeping them out of the mud and, you know, feeding and all those things. So I mean, we knew the barn worked, and of course I had a chance to see a lot of them as I kind of traveled around with working with livestock and the ILDG group. And so I've got to see kind of a lot of different barns and always kind of wanted to have one. So we finally got that built in 2019, and kind of housed majority of our cows in that. And then my son went to Iowa State and graduated in 2020 during the COVID year. And so he got an ag business degree and wanted to come back and farm. And so we had kind of planned to do that and increase the cows a little bit. And that was always kind of an idea when we built that barn. We knew, you know, he was interested in coming back. And so actually, the day that they didn't have a graduation, you know, because of the COVID. So the day that he was actually supposed to be, or the day before he was actually supposed to graduate, he was at a sale buying some cows of his own to add to the herd. And so, you know, anyway, so he was coming back, and we knew that, and my father-in-law was grain farming about 1,500 acres, and my son was going to kind of work with him and transition into that along with the cows, and, you know, thought we had it kind of all figured out, and in April of 21, the landlord that my father-in-law had farmed for 45 years had said, hey, we decided we're going to sell the ground of 1,200 acres that he had farmed. They decided they were going to sell, and so that ground sold in June of that year, and so that obviously changed things pretty dramatically overnight. And so Trevor had always kind of thought about backgrounding as a possibility, and kind of got putting this together about a way that maybe we could look at using that as an opportunity to get involved in backgrounding. So backgrounding, for those who might not know, is basically when you're taking kind of weaned calves that have been weaned off the cows. You try to kind of get them ready for, you get them bunk broke, ready to eat out of a bunk, and then put some weight on them. And then basically then you're, after they leave our place, they're going to a feedlot somewhere that will be finished out. So we're getting calves in that are 500, 550 pounds. And then we're putting some weight on them up to about 800, 850, and then we send them out to feedlots or other farms that would then finish those calves out for market. So it's kind of a segment of the industry. We're kind of, I should kind of say, a little bit of the middleman from the cow-calf guy to the feedlot. So kind of that's kind of the premise of why those barns went up and when they did, kind of as quickly as they did. And we knew starting calves out like that in a bedpack barn would probably be a little better, getting them acclimated and you know, kind of getting them used to that. So the idea of the second barn was now that we were going to kind of put the heavier calves on the slats when they're producing a little more manure, put them on the slats when they get a little heavier, and then start the calves out as they come in the bedpack barn. And so, like I said, we'll see. So we haven't we just have had calves in the gable deep pit barn here for not quite a month now, so we'll kind of see how that works, and I guess, you know, have to be able to adapt as needed. But that's kind of our plan at this point of how we're making those two work.
So it was really critical to have. Was it critical to have a barn, a second barn, and this operation up and running so Trevor could be a part of it after the grain operation land went away, so to speak?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I think it really came down to, you know, being able to keep him full time, which he wanted to do, and we wanted you know, that to happen too. You know, and the thing with the backgrounding, it, you know, when you're finishing cattle, you know, you obviously you have a big investment, and you know, there's a lot of risk in that as well too. There's still risk in what we're doing, but I guess the idea was we can kind of try to generate some cash, cash flow, and you know, kind of with groups coming in. So they come in and they're at our farm for about 3 to 4 months as they come in, and then, you know, so it's kind of we're kind of generating a little bit more, kind of like the pork, you know, pigs. A lot of people used to raise pigs years ago. Like I said, you know, pigs were the mortgage lifter because there was always cash flow coming in, and you know, they helped pay for a lot of things. And so, like I said, that's kind of a little bit of the idea of what we're looking at, is kind of just making sure we got some ongoing revenue coming in. And like I said, it's obviously prices go up and down with cattle, and, you know, but as they come in, and Trevor's been using some futures to try to kind of lock in when we can some profits. And so, like I said, we're still learning, because, like I said, that aspect of cattle production is somewhat new for us. We've had cows, you know, our farm for, you know, 40 years, you know, but really haven't got into the backgrounding or finishing side. And we can finish some cattle out in these barns too. That's the other thing. The slap barn will allow us to finish some calves out if we decide to do that. So that gives us a little more flexibility down the road of how that would happen. So, but by all means, I mean, we talked many times about livestock helping that next generation come back to the farm. And, you know, we're an example that Trevor wouldn't be back here farming full time, you know, with what we're dealing with if it wasn't for livestock. So, you know, I don't think we give livestock enough credit a lot of times for how they can help bring that next generation back. And you know, you always want to have an opportunity for your kids to come back to the farm if you can. you know, and that doesn't always work out, but I think you try to do what you can. And like I said, a lot of times livestock can really, you know, help play a big role in doing that. So,
Tim Myers, Myers Ag Consulting, and the Mac Cattle Co. on the phone with us today from over around the Payson area. Tim, at the outset, we said that this open house is coming up for you this Saturday, a pretty neat chance for people to get out and see some of the operation that you and Trevor have running right now. But just the idea of having people to a livestock barn, showing them what's going on inside, that didn't always used to be a normal kind of thing, and you kind of helped to get that started.
Yeah, you know, there's actually kind of a Springfield connection to that. When I was working with the Illinois pork producers, you know, of course we were having a lot of, seemed like that times there were hearings around the state and some controversial sightings, and majority of the barns didn't have those, but the ones that did got a lot of attention, media attention, and Illinois pork producers was a member of the Springfield Chamber of Commerce, and we would get their nice monthly magazine, and I, you know, I'd always kind of flip through it and look at it, and I remember sitting in my office one time there in Springfield at the pork producer office and looking at this, and they do a great job with all these ribbon cuttings of the new businesses, and I just all of a sudden him, he's like, why are we not doing these for pig barns? You know, they're a business that's opening up the community. They're, you know, they're supporting local grain farmers. They're all these positive things we never get a chance to talk about because we're always dealing with all the negative stuff on these sightings, and so I just kind of thought about that, and I, you know, kind of talked to some other folks that are pork producers, and we kind of put kind of an outline together for what one might look about like if we did an open house and a ribbon cutting for a pig barn. And so the first one we had was actually at Derek Dunkirk's farm there in Morrisonville and his pig barn. I looked back, it was August 2007. And so that went over very well. We kind of put together kind of what, you know, the outline of how it worked, and we talked to Pork Board about it, and they kind of put some funds out there and had some other states look at that. And so, you know, it kind of grew from there. And like I said, since then, I was looking, we did about probably 30 or more events of pig barn open houses when I was with pork producers. And you know, like I said, just, it was a chance for people, I think, especially for the pig side, for people to go inside the pig barns. You know, not a lot of people had a chance to see what was inside the barns, what they looked like. Now, obviously, on the pigs, there's biosecurity where, you know, we don't have pigs inside those barns when we're doing those open houses, but they still get to go in, see what it looks like, see the technology we're using, see, you know, what we are doing to care for the pigs, and you know, and then we always serve them a pork chop and get some sponsors to help with that. And so it was always kind of neat, too, for people to eat a pork chop inside of a pig barn, you know, so I know that's, you know, that you don't get to do that very often. So, again, that was just a very positive thing. And, again, we got to kind of talk about the positives of the barn and the family, the story behind the barn. That was always the neat thing too that I saw, is that, you know, every one of these barns had a story just like ours, of a family that was working together somehow, bringing in them generation or expanding, whatever that might be. And so that open house really allowed us to tell the story of that family behind those barns. And so, so in 2016, I started Myers Ag Consulting and wanted to come back and kind of do a little more full time on the farm. And so, you know, I did that, and I was at that time started working with the livestock development group and doing some open houses with them. And so that time, then we kind of added the cattle barns and dairy barns to the open house side of things. And so, all said and done, we've probably done, I've probably been involved in a little over probably 70 open house events over the years. And so, like I said, it's kind of neat to finally have one on our farm that we get to kind of do that. And I will also say I appreciate a little bit more all the work, you know, the people that do the open house, the farmers themselves that let, you know, have people come in, all the work ahead of time getting things ready, and that that's a little daunting of a task, but it's one of those things, you just do the best you can and get everything as ready as you can. So that's kind of where the open houses have progressed. And you know, now after 15 years later and 70 plus open houses later, we finally get to have one on our place.
Tim Myers on the phone, Myers Ag Consulting, Matt Cattle Co., about that open house over near the Payson area for their operation, Monoslope, in a deep pit building. They've got a bunch of cattle out there. They're going to welcome you on Saturday to the farm. Tim, as you put those buildings in, though, and maybe part of the plan, but you said Trevor went out and got some cows on the day he was otherwise supposed to graduate from ISU, Iowa State University, but couldn't due to COVID restrictions. He was out buying. I mean, did you expect then to have the operation look the way it looks now with more cows to feed and the opportunity to really get the thing going?
You know, we really didn't then. I guess, you know, we had talked about it, kind of expanding the cow herd and we've got cows in partnership. I've had cows in a partnership with another neighbor, Butch Brinkman, that we've had kind of cows together over those years. And so when Trevor was coming back, we were looking at maybe kind of trying to expand our fall herd a little bit more and grow that. And we'd always been selling our calves. A lot of times our calves go into the Missouri, into the auction markets, whether it's Palmyra or Kingdom City or Bowling Green, kind of that where we're situated. Those are pretty good auction markets for us. And so, you know, we just didn't have the facilities to really finish out any cattle or do what we were doing. And then, like I said, when this kind of came up with my father-in-law, and this just kind of led that way, it's like, well, this, you know, let's kind of jump in and see how it goes. And like I said, it's definitely been a family affair. My wife has definitely gotten more involved in the operation. She basically takes care of feeding the calves every day. So that's a big task that she basically is mixing the rations and feeding the calves. And so, and Trevor's basically over there every day too, just taking care of things and bedding the bed pack barn. So it's definitely my father-in-law is involved as well. And so, like I said, it's definitely a family venture, and it's allowed a few more folks in the family to get involved a little more heavily in the farming side. So that's been nice too, to have that, have that aspect as well too from the family side. So it's one of those things you can't always envision where things are going to go. And sometimes you get thrown a curveball and you got to kind of adapt and try to make the best of it. And that's kind of what we've done at this point. And like I said, we'll see where it goes in the future. And like I said, we're still trying to kind of get things all kind of up and going and kind of get some things tweaked out and, you know, figured out kind of how to make everything work. But so far it's going good. We're getting pretty good daily gains out of the calves what we were kind of hoping for. So that's been good, and just matter of keeping them healthy. And the changing weather, that's always a big thing too, with the fluctuation of the weather we've seen a lot here recently. It's good that they're inside, but that creates stress on them as this weather changes so much from one extreme to the other. So dealing with that is always a challenge.
Does the chore mix change? I don't want to say that it gets any easier, because but I am kind of seeing if it's a little bit more adaptable to getting more people involved when you're running a cattle operation more out of some buildings than just out in a lot or on a pasture, Tim. How does the chore and the daily operation then adjust to the situation you're in now?
Yeah, it definitely does. Like I said, I wouldn't say it's less work by any means, but you know, we're feeding a lot more number of head than we were before. But like I said, you're doing a lot more things mechanically. You know, we've got a TMR mixer where, you know, we're loading the ingredients, usually hay and silage and DDGs and corn. You know, we're mixing that in this TMR mixer and using that to feed. So, less bucketing of feed, the hay bales, we're not doing as much hay, feeding just regular hay and hay rings and lots. Although we still have some of that, we still have most of our cows are in barn, but obviously we have some pasture that we run as well too. And so, it is different. It's a little more, the management of it a little bit more too on just making sure those diets are balanced and health, keeping up on the health of the cattle a little bit more. And the manure, you know, we haven't talked about that part of the manure management. Obviously that's a key, especially with these fertilizer prices we've seen the last few years, right? So these barns, that's one of the big things with the barns is all the manure is under roof. So obviously, you know, runoff chance from that. So environmental aspect, very, very good, environmentally friendly from that aspect. But then also then we're capturing those nutrients and being able to apply that manure when we can to our cropping field and utilize those nutrients in the manure. So, you know, I guess that's another aspect that really we're hoping to take advantage of and be able to use the manure a little more effectively into the operation. We're using cover crops. We've been sowing triticale in the fall, and then we've been chopping and baling that in the spring for feed for the calves. So again, I think it is a very sustainable system where we're taking the manure, putting on the crops, using cover crops, taking the cover crops off, using it for feed, chopping corn silage. So it's keeping all those nutrients in balance and what we're taking off and what we're putting on. But I think that does give us the barns give us a better way to capture those nutrients and utilize those nutrients in the cropping side of things.
Yeah, I had scribbled down here manure as value. I mean, we know it's got value. It's got value on the pig side, the cow side. I mean, we just simply know that. But as you kind of start getting going in that operation, have you been able to put, a number to it or an opportunity cost to it to make sure you've got it all in one spot so you can properly apply it when you need to?
Yeah, we've tested some manure samples tested on the cattle side, and looking at that and what the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that's in that, and kind of seeing what we can use in the cropping side. So yeah, I think we're still trying to kind of fine tune that to make sure we're utilizing that the best we can. We know that adds to the soil health, and obviously that's a hot topic in ag right now is building soil health and the biologicals and those sorts of things, which we've been working on as well too. But manure just kind of adds that. I always say there's no better way to add organic material or tilth to improve your soils than utilizing manure. People have seen that over time, and we're hoping to kind of take advantage of that and be able to see the benefits on the cropping side as well, and really make that work complementary type to each other.
Just a couple more questions for Tim Myers, Tim Myers Ag Consulting with the Mac Cattle Co. open house they've got over in Payson. Is a 25-degree day a good time to have an open house? it might show the benefit of the barn.
Yeah, I guess, we are going to be we've got curtains on the west side. I think right now they're calling for winds out of the west, so we'll have the curtains down. I guess you make the best of what you can. It would have been nicer when it was 70 degrees out here a couple weeks ago, I think. But it is, we deal with what we have. I think we're going to have a few heaters for people in the barns just to try to kind of keep it a little bit warmer. Typically for the calves, if we can keep the wind off of them, that's the big thing is usually keeping them comfortable. I guess I would encourage people who are going to come, dress in layers. It seems like that this time of year, that's about what you got to do. But I think at least it's not supposed to be snowing on Saturday. So maybe we've got, we got about an inch or two the other day when it came through here. So maybe we'll have that out of the way, at least for the short term.
But you got the cows out of the way, you got the calves out of the way, and if you got those wind curtains down, just tell me a little bit about the working environment then and the living environment then that those cows have. It's around here in the wintertime, it's got to be more beneficial. You talked about trying to chart some daily gains already in some of those backgrounder calves, and are you seeing what you think would be better gains now as opposed if they were totally outside?
Oh yeah, I think so. Just because, like I said, they're not, dealing with that the cold temperature. And then the other thing, obviously, then is the mud, because if it's not 20 below and then it's frozen, then it's that we get in this where it's just the lots are muddy and you're constantly fighting that and so that's obviously hard on them. It takes energy for them to be able to deal with that as well too. So the fact that they can be inside. Out of the wind, like I said, these barns aren't completely enclosed because with cattle you want good airflow. You don't want them like pig barns where you get more enclosed. You want good airflow, and that's kind of both barns are kind of set up to get that air flowing. But like I said, keeping the direct wind off them and snow and rain off of them, and I think comfort for the calves that's key, and the more comfortable they are, the less stress they're going to be, the healthier they're going to be, the more they're going to eat, the more they're going to gain. And like I said, we've been seeing some on average probably 2 to 3 pounds of daily gain for most of the calves that are coming through the barn. So we'll see now when we get into the slat barn if we see much difference there and how that might work as well too. So we'll we'll kind of be able to compare that a little bit in the future as well. But yeah, I think that's key, is obviously, you know, keeping them comfortable, and the more they're comfortable, the better they're going to perform, and that obviously is good for us, because then that they're putting on weight, and that's what we want, to get some weight on them, to get them down the road to the next place, so they can get them finished out and get them to market and end up at some good quality steaks on consumers' plates. And you know, that's ultimately what we're striving for every day, is that you know, keep that in mind. That's the ultimate goal, is make it a good product. Real beef, you know, for consumers, that is nutritional and safe, and that's the goal. What ultimately we're trying to do is part of that industry that everybody works so hard to do.
Yeah, we can talk beef ahead of Thanksgiving. It's okay if you put a prime rib on the table instead of a turkey. Nobody's going to look sideways at you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, we can do that. We always say that turkey, you know, if turkey has one day a year, okay, but then we'll have, you know, beef and pork the rest of the day. But yeah, we are serving ribeyes, not turkey sandwiches, at the open house. So yeah, we are making sure we got beef that we'll be serving on Saturday. So
pretty appropriate. Longhorn helped build those buildings, Tim. Any other partners you need to recognize here through this whole travel,
yeah,
getting these up and running?
We had a lot of companies that helped us get where we are. I do want to mention the Illinois Beef Association. We were talking about beef and beef promotion, and you know, they are, Illinois Beef Association is a sponsor, helping sponsor the beef actually that we'll be cooking and grilling as well. So, and they've been definitely a big help, and just all that they do to help the beef industry in the state. I want to give a shout out to them, the Illinois Beef Association, and the Beef Checkoff. Definitely a partner in what we've done and what we look to the future to do. I know Trevor's been involved in some of their leadership activities and really enjoyed getting involved in that, and that's been good to see as well. So that's been a good group to work with. Compeer Financial has been a big partner in you know, getting all the lending side of things. That's a key part of all this too. You can't do that. Can't do what we're doing without a good relationship with a banker and a good lending partner. So they're definitely a key one. And then United Producers Cooperative is who we've been working with in sourcing our calves and helping kind of sell our calves. So they're definitely been a key partner in kind of this too, as we've started to kind of source calves and helping us find spots for the calves after they leave our farm. So,
well, Tim, we got to get you back to work, working cattle, hauling corn. You still have chores to do today.
Oh yes, always something to do. We got getting ready for the open house. Like I said, got some corn to haul, get some more chores to do. So, but it's been good catching up with you. And like I said, we encourage folks, if they have questions, they can reach out to me if they want. I can give my number if they want, 217-257-1020. If they got any questions about the barns, or you know, can't make it over but have questions, or want to come over another time, be happy to show them to folks. And like I said, that was a big thing for us, is just going out and kind of seeing some other barns when we were looking. You know, I think that you just got to find the best fit for your farm and look at many options as you can, and talk to a lot of different people and kind of see what works and doesn't work. But it's been good catching up, and appreciate all you do to help get the word out there to those in ag. So it's good catching up to you.
Yep, good to talk to Tim Myers, Myers Ag Consulting and the Mack Cattle Co. With that operation of the barns they've got running over there by Payson. Be well, Tim.
Yep, you too, Steve. Take care.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.